The Friday tailgate party with us is brought to you by Galise Services. Time for Behind the Enemy Lines. We don't always do this, but the game is so big. It's such an old school rivalry. Super Bowl 10, 13, 30, unfortunately. We have the...
We got two Tiffany franchises.
Absolutely.
Say it like,
it
is.
We also have the subplot of Greenfield Zone, Mike McCarthy.
Oh, St. Rosalia is going to be feeling a certain kind of way about this.
A man who loved Huff's, R.I.P. Huff's, no longer open.
No, that's
a
bummer.
Do they bring it back
Huff's
this
too.
Weekend?
What, just a one-time only pop-up Huff's?
Pop-up Huff's on Saturday for Big Mike.
I think he has to have moved on to a different pasture there, a different watering
hole. How about Archie's?
That's not in Greenfield.
I know, but he's got his guy there, Mike Manning.
Can you imagine if he could convince Archie to move the bar up there? Convince Mike to just move that bad boy to Greenfield?
This guy, our next guest, has a gigantic following. I called him the Ed Bouchette of the Dallas Cowboys. John Machota, who has covered them for a long time, Dallas Morning News, now with The Athletic, is with us here on 93.7 The Fan. John, what do you think here? Is Mike McCarthy going to have thousands of fans in the stands on Sunday? Do you sense that there will be a big McCarthy contingent for this game?
I mean, I would think so. I don't know if it'll be thousands, but I know he's got quite a few family members and friends that are going to be there. So I would imagine that he'll have a big rooting base. But, I mean, that's really the Cowboys, and they travel too, much like the Steelers do as well. So I expect a lot of Cowboys fans to be there. I don't know how many will be just rooting for Mike McCarthy, more so just rooting for the Dallas Cowboys.
How much of how depleted, I should say, of a team, John, are they going to be cheering for? How banged up is this team on like a 1 to 10 scale?
10 being complete disaster, I'd say they're probably at like a 4, but it's not great. I mean, not to have Micah Parsons, not to have DeMarcus Lawrence, not going to have number 2 receiver Brandon Cooks. But, I mean, they still have, you know, I think the game a lot comes down to what the Steelers do against Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb. I just don't see a way that the Cowboys win this game if Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb don't play very, very well. And the main reason why is just they're going to try and run the football, but their rush attack might be the worst in the league. And I don't expect them to get much traction in Pittsburgh doing that. And so, they're down. They're hurting bad on defense, but I really do think it comes down to Dak Prescott, the highest paid player right now in the NFL, and CeeDee Lamb, the second highest paid non-quarterback. So really, Justin Jefferson's the only person above him. So, those two will decide it.
Have teams done a good job of limiting the damage of the Prescott to Lamb connection to this point, John? And I know you are an X's and O's guy. How have they been able to do that so far this season?
Yeah, I would say they have to a certain extent. I mean, just because you look at the production that those two had together last year, CeeDee was, his numbers were as good as any receiver in the league. And then you had Dak Prescott, who was second in the MVP voting, and he had a really good regular season. So I would say that the expectations haven't been met this season so far through 4 games. And so maybe this is a game where, because they have been kind of trending in the right direction, I'd say the biggest thing that teams have done is they've done a good job of doubling CD, particularly in the second half, and CD hasn't been able to have. Like, he's had some really good first halves, but the second half he's kind of gone away. And again, that's a huge factor in this game. I just don't see how they could beat the Steelers if CD Lamb isn't a big factor in that second half. And, they had a really big play that they hit, a touchdown play along the Cowboys sideline Thursday night against the Giants. And it was like talking to CD after the game, it's like, that's like one of the only times the entire game that he saw single coverage. And obviously when that happens, they have to feast, but it's so rare that CD is seeing single coverage because, just to be honest with you, there's not really any other receiver on their team that will really make you pay if you do double him. That should be your game plan going in facing Cowboys every week.
John, not only is that defense lacking it's easily its best player in Parsons, but also Lawrence, but they're also struggling to stop teams from running all over them, at least in 2 of the 4 games, the 2 losses. They've just gotten gashed on the ground. Are people already ticked off at Mike Zimmer down there? What's been their problem stopping the run when they've lost these games?
Yeah, I'm sure that, there's a little bit of I guess, could be anger directed at Mike Zimmer, but there's not a lot, and the reason being that this isn't really just a Mike Zimmer issue. They had those issues with Dan Quinn in previous years too, so there's a lot of things that you've seen from their run defense where it's like, well, yeah, you kind of saw that at times, particularly against good teams, in previous seasons. So how are you just putting this all on Mike Zimmer? One of the things that really stands out with the Cowboys, they just have not had really good defensive tackle production for a long time. And they spent a first-round pick on Mozzie Smith a couple years ago, and he hasn't really met expectations, although he is coming off of his best game as a pro Thursday night against the Giants. But they just have not had great D-tackle play, and because of that, you know, that's a big part in the run game where it's hard to be critical of your linebackers if the D-tackles aren't playing at a high level in the run game. And so it'll be interesting to see how this goes without having Parsons and Lawrence out there, because, you know, there's a lot of who deserves the most blame when the run defense has been awful. And it's like, well, you're not going to have two of your top players. How's it going to get better without them? That would really leave you scratching your head if somehow they played their best run defense without their top two, you know, defensive linemen. So it seems unrealistic there. And then the other part is just having a quarterback like Justin Fields. That's where it can really, you can really bother this team, because they've been able to run the Ravens and Saints ran so well that you really didn't need Lamar to throw this great game. You really didn't need Carr to have this great game through the air. You could just kind of get it done on the ground. Mm. And that's where I could see Fields possibly having a huge day.
John Machota with us here. He's a big Cowboys insider. You said that wherever the Cowboys go, they bring a lot of fans with them. Do you anticipate this to be an exception? Like in all your travels, John, are there a couple of places where Cowboys fans really can't get in, or are they always there and always loud and always very vocal?
No, they're always there, always loud. I mean, if the team's playing well, you're definitely going to hear them. Because the place where you would think that it would be the toughest would be Philadelphia, and there's still a tons of Cowboys fans that go to those games.
Now, do they have to wear flak jackets to those typically? Do they go in full body armor? Yeah,
I mean, Teflon?
I'll tell you this. The best example I can give you about that place is that I've had multiple local TV sports people tell me that they take their mic flags off and they go to Philadelphia, just because even if you're associated with the city of Dallas,
yes,
you usually are going to get a bunch of hate and potentially things thrown at you. So I would say for me, I've covered the Cowboys since 2011, and I will say I just see a lot of similarities between the Cowboys, Steelers, and Packers fan bases, where it's like it's tough to go to any road game when those teams are playing and they're not going to have a lot of fans there. And I think a big reason why is because it's not just a local fan base for any of those three teams.
Yes.
It's such a national and even international fan base for those teams. So it's like, you're going to get, let's say the Steelers are playing down here, you're going to get a ton of people that probably live in somewhere in the DFW area that I've just always been Steelers fans. And so, yeah, I expect a decent amount of Cowboys fans, certainly on Sunday night.
John, one other guy on that defense to ask you about, how banged up, it sounds like he's going to go from basically reading your timeline, but is Trayvon Diggs at all like compromised with this ankle? I know the Steelers don't have the reputation for the big passing attack, but Pickens can beat anybody over the top. How banged up is Diggs?
Yeah, from the way that it's been described, I believe Jerry Jones said it this morning on his radio interview that, you know, they got a pretty good scare yesterday in practice when Diggs went down. But Mike McCarthy, we just had a conference call with him about an hour ago, and it didn't sound like it's of high concern or something that would keep Diggs out of the game. So maybe it limits him a little bit. And they are kind of thin at corner. They're without Jerron Bland, who was very outstanding for them last year.
Yep.
You know, just
all
you know,
those interceptions.
Pick six machine, yeah. So he's starting to work his way back, but he won't be back for at least a few more weeks. And so they're pretty thin at corner. So, yeah, Trayvon Diggs, they need him badly for sure. And then really that number three corner spot, they started out against the Giants with Andrew Booth filling in there, and Malik Nabers kind of did what he wanted. And so they ended up going with this Amani Awarie, who
he – Penn State.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, and he had a nice interception
big pick.
Late.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I would think he would be the next guy up over Booth. So that one will be an interesting kind of watch. But yeah, their corners going into the season compared to what it is right now because of injuries, definitely not as strong as they were hoping.
John Machota from down in Dallas. He'll be here Sunday night for the Steelers and Cowboys. John, thank you so much for coming on our show.
Hey, no problem, guys. Thanks for having me on.
There you go. Perspective from Dallas. We don't always do that, but this is a huge game. The Cowboys fan thing. Malzi said last Friday that Cowboys fans would overtake Acrisure Stadium. Vivid Seats has actually put a number on it. What percentage of Cowboys fans they are anticipating being in the house? And I got to tell you something right now. This number will disgust Steelers fans when we come back. And I want to hear from Steelers fans on this. This idea that Cowboys fans are going to pack Acrisure Stadium Sunday and how that makes you feel at 412-928-9370, because the numbers don't lie. And they spell disaster for fans who...
on Sunday night.
Who should have kept their tickets and gone to the game as Steelers fans. 412-928-9370. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. High of 76 tomorrow. Not bad. All right, come back with more calls, plus that Cowboys-Steelers stat that is going to drive you bonkers, and get in queue on it right now. First, a quick timeout, then we're back for a long commercial-free segment. I'll start by telling you guys about FanDuel, the official partner of 93.7 The Fan, the official betting partner of the NFL, and your chance right now to put your money where your mouth is on this Sunday night game between the Steelers and Cowboys. The line is only 2.5, so you should feel good betting the Steelers if you think they're going to win the game, and that's where I'm at. I am extremely bullish on the Steelers to get the job done in this matchup. I have a great feeling that they're going to get it done, that they're going to win the game, and the best part about it is for you, really, that's all you need to do is pick a winner here, and you're going to get yourself paid. FanDuel right now, for new customers, if you've never made a bet on FanDuel ever, all you need to do is sign up now, download the app, and you are going to get $200 in bonus bets when you make your first bet, as long as it's more than $5. So that shouldn't be hard. Sign up now, FanDuel.com/Andrew. 21 plus present in Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is knowledgeable bonus bets, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms. Sportsbook.FanDuel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Malzi.
Thank you, Pony. Let's talk right now about Shorkey Mitsubishi North Hills. Mitsu by the mall. My guy Mike Engel, Tim Ferraro, the general manager. Awesome people. Want to get you a great deal on the Mitsu that fits you. Listen to some of these ones they have going on right now. These are great. You can get into a 2025 Outlander hybrid all-wheel drive lease right now for $269 a month. Now, I have driven that Outlander hybrid before. It's awesome. You feel like you're driving something from the future, because you pretty much are. It is big, big help. It helps Big Lee when it comes to gas, because you're using the battery a lot. So you can check out one of those right now. 2024 Outlander all-wheel drives, 0%. Right now, financing-wise, 0% financing. That's right, on all 2024 Outlanders. Jim Shorkey Mitsubishi in the North Hills. Mitsu by the mall. How about this? They're paying 125% of Kelley Blue Book value for your trade, so you got to trade in. It's going to make this all even more affordable if you're looking for the Mitsu that fits you. What are you waiting for? Go see them. Mitsu by the mall in the North Hills, and always online. It's ShorkeyMitsubishi.com.